You are listening to Radiant Creators, a collaborative project composed of people whose passion, purpose, and dedication requires forging their own unique path of empowerment and livelihood. A Radiant Creator isn't making a living, they are living. Today we talk to Shane Tyler Milson of Black Magic Alchemy, a company and philosophy he's created inspired by his love of foraging mushrooms. Black Magic Alchemy's premier product is a shaga mushroom-based root beer elixir. Shaga mushrooms are typically found growing on birch trees and have many health benefits. We dive deep into both shaga and reishi mushrooms and discuss at length their health and eclectic benefits. We also discuss modern-day shamanism and its re-emergence into our daily lives. This interview is magical and inspired from start to finish. Welcome, Shane.
Just watching your Kill the Bear video on YouTube. I love the way in Cafe Gratitude you have to respond, you know, who's ravishingly awake? I'm ravishingly awake.
That is one of my favorite videos that I've ever done, and it's from one of my favorite scenes. I literally watched the movie when I was a kid over and over again and reactivated that for myself again when my parents had it on one night when I was visiting them, and I thought, that's a great scene for motivation. That's just real deal motivation.
Called
The Edge with Anthony Hopkins.
They need to have a special where you have to actually act that scene out.
Yeah, and what I love about that, because I'm a huge self-development, motivational, I love reading all the Tony Robbins books, Kevin Trudeau, all the classics. And the reason why I like that one scene so much is because it's such an adverse challenge that they have to deal with, is killing a giant grizzly bear in its own territory. And they literally have to reframe it in their mind, like, who's going to kill the bear? It seems like an impossible task, but they're both yelling, like, I'm going to get the bear.
Yeah, truly. And that's the thing. It's finding that fortitude in oneself. That's where you really do it. I mean, I'm an outdoors person myself. And I think one thing other than, I don't know, like mosquitoes having malaria or something like that scares me in the woods is bears. I mean, that's like, there's nothing scarier than a bear, I think. I mean, black bears, they're a little wimpy, but a grizzly, oh, they just come and take your food. They
100%,
do.
100%. And in some weird way, we, you know, everyone always asks us whenever we're mushroom hunting, we're telling you stories about it. Do you guys ever see a bear? And you know what? Not really. We've seen it from the road when we're driving by, but I almost want to track just one time a bear for the story and hopefully get out totally alive and no skates or claw marks or any issues.
I've always had a weird fantasy of being mauled by a bear, just like a light scratch across the chest, you know what I mean? Just so I could have a badass scar, just because no one would ever outdo that drinking story.
Yeah, the only person who might have any challenge for that story is like a shark attack, which is pretty equally badass.
Yeah, I know. Well, we could, so the shark attack person and I could go on like a motivational tour.
Book signing. I mean, you could start a podcast out of it.
I was looking at your Instagram, and I love the description there. You know, deep in the Canadian forest, we hunt wild chaga mushrooms to create a magical root beer elixir, immune boosting, skin sexifying, pineal gland opener. And that's amazing. So I got to kind of start just asking you, what drew your interest in chaga and other medicine and medicinal mushrooms? And I mean, how did you become, I guess you'd say, radiantly healthy, because you're a healthy guy? Like, when did this start? Were you born with it, or did you just figure it out? Was there some challenge?
Wow. Well, to start, I was definitely not, for the first 19 years of my life, into health in any way, shape, or form. It's not that I wasn't interested. I just didn't really have any, I didn't really know what resources to go to. I mean, I was always fascinated in school and athletics. I was on the rugby team. I tried to always improve my skill level, and I took any advantage I could where I could. So if I knew that, okay, a protein shake, for instance, when I was in high school, I was like, oh, protein seems like the way to get bigger and stronger and I'd be more effective at rugby. So I would do that. So it's not that I wasn't interested. I just didn't even know where to go to get real good information. I didn't really have any mentors in that topic. But thankfully, I kind of did in a weird way. When I was young, when I was in high school, I would actually go to my grandfather's farm during the summers, and I would help him with hay baling. I put fence poles in. I would plant. I would harvest. I would help him with all the different chores on the farm, which seemed endless. And one of my favorite things we would do at the end of a long day is we would actually go mushroom hunting. My grandfather's fully Italian. He was born near Sicily. So I would love the experience of going mushroom hunting with him, because he would show me how to spot morels and chanterelles and boletuses. So to me, that was one of my favorite things to do on the farm. And then there wasn't really the cell phones, and my grandpa probably wouldn't even let me have one, even if I wanted to have one at the farm. So that was literally my playtime. At the end of the hard work day, I would go mushroom hunting with my grandfather. So that was maybe my first little skew into health and kind of like looking for your own wild food. He would teach me also what herbs in the wild I could harvest and which ones I couldn't. How stinging nettle, for instance, actually really good for like if you have sore joints or bones, you could actually hit yourself with stinging nettle like the Native Americans used to and actually help to almost alleviate your arthritic pain. So these were like cool things my grandpa taught me and always had me super fascinated. I didn't really get into health, though, until I was about 19, and then I started becoming very, very curious when I had severe acne and hyperhidrosis, which is actually severe sweating. Your glands are so backed up, your lymph nodes, that your body's just trying to exude the toxins in any way, shape, and form. So that's when I started becoming super interested in health because now it's affecting my dating life and my social life. I don't want to go out. I feel like I have too much acne, and I'm just sweating all the time. I used to have to bring a shirt with me everywhere I would go, a second shirt in my trunk, just to change into halfway through the day because I'd be sweating profusely, no matter whether it's hot or cold. So that gave me a reason to start looking into health. And then I started gaining support over the years, living with different people, learning about everything from juicing to raw food to vitamins and minerals and electromagnetic chaos. I learned kind of like the whole gambit of things and went through it all. Mushrooms, though, where it becomes a little bit more relevant with like black magic, for instance, that became more relevant to me when I was 22 and I started working for a superfood company in Canada. And they actually had a line of 17 different superfoods from all around the world, everything from Chinese medicine, South American medicine. So we had things like goji berries, we had Shizandra, we had raw chocolate, and the things on the lineup that were always the most curious to me were the mushrooms. I thought, wow, these things are coming up a lot in my research about health. People think that mushrooms are the greatest foods for the immune system and some of the best foods for like all different parts of the body, whether it's your lungs all the way to your blood flow. And there were specific mushrooms for each realm, and the old chaga and reishi. And they sold it wild form, where it was wild hunted in Ontario, Canada, where I'm from. And the mushroom was just in dried form or in tincture form, a high alcohol content. And people would come up to the booth when I would do events and rave about two mushrooms. And I thought, there's got to be something to this. If these foods are beating out all these crazy superfoods like Shizandra and goji berry, and these mushrooms are literally the fan favorite. So that's when I started digging deeper into it and doing more research and realizing, wow, this is another realm. And because I worked for the company, I had unlimited access to take as much as I wanted. So I was doing extremely high doses every day. I was drinking, you know, pretty much the only liquid I drank for that first year was just shaga water. And I would mix that shaga water that I would brew on the stove at low temperatures. I would then use that water for soups, for cooking, for baking, for I'd cool it down and make smoothies or cold brew coffee. I drank shaga basically for a year straight of just that liquid. And then I started introducing reishi mushroom in the tincture form, and I would take the reishi with me everywhere in this tincture, and I would drop it under my tongue, and I noticed that was the biggest jump in my health game. That was when I felt the most psychic, the most aware, the most vibrant, most alive, and it's only increased ever since then of taking not only those mushrooms in high quantities, but also adding lion's mane and cordyceps and maitake and shiitake into that lifestyle. That's kind of like what brought me into health was ultimately wanting to always improve my potential. I'm always reading. I'm always trying to learn as much as I can. And to me, health is the quickest way to improve your life because every single time you put something in your body's a chemistry set that's going to give you a result. So you're going to feel some way after you take food and substances and liquids and medicine. So I love just optimizing my own experience in life by taking these superfoods, and the highest, best quantity, in my opinion, is mushrooms.
Oh, I like that. And so if I go way back to when you were on the farm, it sounds like I could almost summarize maybe like your earliest influence, like your earliest learning was actually nature and ancestral knowledge started to teach you as a child. You know, I like the way that sounds, at least.
Oh, you nailed it totally. Like the reason why I always like to start there when I'm explaining kind of what really influenced this, it was I really feel that time when, you know, the brain is so receptive to the things around it. And especially when you're young and are in high school and even before high school, me spending time with my grandfather, who's a very, I would almost say, scientifically skeptical person. Like, he actually doesn't trust a lot of the science information out there, and he says, you know, he believes more in just kind of looking at how it was done throughout history, looking back at how farmers farmed based on moon cycles, and maybe that's a little bit from his heritage growing up in Italy, where you know, farmers just passed down information and knew certain things about the land and what food you could eat or what not. And they wouldn't need, you know, a plethora of examples done by Harvard or UCLA universities to tell them this is a good food for them. They would trust ancestral knowledge, with which I always lean on as well. I say that's, to me, like, I love the science side of things. I like doing a research, but I find the best knowledge is what's been passed down for thousands of years. Historically, the best knowledge.
Yeah, it's where you can always go and find sanity, because right now it seems like we're at a time where nothing, no matter how benign it may appear to be, it could be water. You know, someone's going to say that, well, if you should drink, you know, a gallon a day, then you'll get somebody else will say, no, that's horrible. Then you get into, well, distilled is poison. You want to drink spring water. No, spring water could be dirty. So really, without that, I find that ancestral nutrition or ancestral health, going back to our Paleolithic ancestors, is really where you can find, you can get a root into sanity, I find.
Yeah, man, I'm totally with you on that, Craig. And I feel like even the deepest roots within us is actually our DNA and our intuition to know these things best. Because you're right, there's so many books, like, it's an interesting topic. People say, well, how much water do you actually drink? I mean, I've read books that people saying, you should actually ignore all the rules about what they're telling you to drink, because every person's different, which I do believe that's true. You know, everyone's different water intake will be different based on weight, body, you know, body chemistry, how much they're active. And the book basically says, you know, ignore all of that concept and actually just trust your intuition on how much you should drink. So I think it all comes back down, not only with water, but it all comes down to this intuition, which is the most ancestral thing we have in us. It's this guidance system that once you cleanse the body and get some of these low-level toxins that are tricking the body chemically to want certain poisons, like, let's say, like, if you've been eating McDonald's for years, you might say, well, my gut says I want McDonald's right now. I'm hungry for it. No, that's a chemical addiction. So I think once someone can safely cleanse that stuff out of their system, those chemical underlying needs for those foods, they can then go back to trusting their intuition. And then all of a sudden, that's really the most ancestral thing, not only the knowledge from ancestors, but then knowing for yourself what's best for you.
To detox that far before you connect to that intuition, that's something I noticed, you know, years ago. Once you get a bit clear, a bit detox, you start to root into that intuition, and it will just pull you forward. It really does. You mentioned that chaga is a pineal gland opener, or helps to open the pineal gland. So you also mentioned that reishi was definitely a help in that. So tell me a little bit about that before we move on. So you found that chaga and reishi together really helped open the pineal gland, helped to open that intuition?
Yes, and I'll add a story with it to give a reason.
Yes.
Kind of where I really not, you know, like, I've read more about it and learned more about it, but really it was from experience the very first time I noticed something happen. So my real first experience with chaga, not, you know, buying it or not, you know, getting it from the company I was dealing with at the time, which had the wild chaga from Ontario as well as the reishi product. But my first, what I consider real experience where I got the feeling of what it does, was the first time I went harvesting myself, which was one of my favorite experiences. I was up north with my friend Angelito, who actually just came to visit me in LA, is also Canadian. And we went mushroom hunting, and he actually worked in the same company with me. So we got to see on the front lines both. We heard so much about the chaga. We're like, let's go see what it's really like to harvest it. Because all the people who would come up to the booth would say, oh, I go hunting for this in the north, like near Muskoka or Algonquin. I thought, okay, if that's the case, I'm going to go look for it myself with my friend. And so we drove up north. My parents have a cottage. It's about 2 hours north of Toronto. And sorry, Craig, can you still hear me?
Oh, I certainly can hear you. Yep.
Okay. So I went up north with my friend Angelito, and we went to my parents' cottage. We parked the cars, and we went deep into the woods, so deep where cell reception cut out. And we started looking for this chaga, and it took approximately 2 hours before we decided to give up because we weren't finding any. The most we had found was a little tiny piece of dead chaga, well, not dead technically, but on a dead tree. It looked like it had been knocked down many years prior. And it looked a little bit rough condition, cobwebby, and not really the most ideal first time hunting chaga, like not what I was wanting for my first piece. So I thought, okay, let's keep going. You know, about 2 hours in, we decided, you know, it's a beautiful hike, but let's get back. Let's eat some food. Let's kind of throw in the towel right now. I don't think we're in the right forest, even though there's birch trees everywhere. Something's wrong. So, and we were really only looking at birch trees because that's what we read was the only spot that chaga grows. So on our way back, about 10 minutes after giving up our perilous hunt of trying to find it, suddenly we look up and there it is on the tree, and it ain't a birch tree. It turns out to be a pine tree that it's on. which was our very first lesson that when you go shaka hunting, you end up finding nature teaches you a lot of lessons about life in a very microcosm experience of just that hunt. The hunt might only be 3 hours. You almost play the video game of life out in those 3 hours where you learn all these lessons about the real world. And the, one of those lessons we took right away is when you look too hard for something, you oftentimes miss it because you're resisting it so much trying to find it. And we realized, don't always, you know, believe everything you read. You actually have to learn from experience. And we ended up finding shaga on a tree that's extremely rare to find it on. You almost never find shaga on pine trees, but it doesn't mean it's impossible like a lot of blogs say it is. So we find the shaga, we pick it, we do a 14-minute video, which is actually still on YouTube right now. I think it's almost even got 6,000 views on it. It's like this horribly filmed video, just like horrific. Like I'm in a shadow, you can barely see my face. It's like the worst setup, but it's pretty funny finding us for our first time like hunting shaga. And we brought the shaga back within 20, 30 minutes of harvesting it, and we brewed it on the pot. And we ended up drinking it and feeling this incredible experience of almost what I would say, not psychedelic, but a psychic experience. It was so wild what happened. We were almost picking each other's thoughts up, where Angelito would think a thought, and suddenly I swore I was catching his thought. I would start talking in the trajectory of what he was thinking about, and it was nothing to do with the conversation at hand. You know, when your mind lingers, all of a sudden it's a different thought. And I would say it out loud, and he said, dude, I was literally just thinking that. And then sure enough, 5 minutes later, the same thing happened with me. He picked up a thought of mine and started talking about something random that I had no idea. He's like, where'd you get that thought? And we started realizing, oh my God, this is like a psychic experience when you drink it this fresh. And the more research I did, the more collaboration I got to that idea. So shaga definitely opens the pineal gland for the reason that it has the highest dose of melanin of any known discovered food. So melanin, what it is, it's a nutrient, and it actually improves skin color. It's actually a nutrient in our skin, in our eyes, in our inner ear, as well as hair and nails. And it also affects the adrenal glands. Melanin is one of the most hard to support nutrients, though, or antioxidant pigments of any antioxidant in the body. In order to create melanin, the body has to use immense amounts of resources to actually create it. So when you get it from shaga, shaga actually goes into the body and provides such a flourishment of it that it actually goes into areas like the pineal gland, which is the area that's right in between the middle of the eyes, also known as the third eye. The spiritual version of it's the third eye or the pineal gland, which is actual gland. And this gland, our third eye, is actually responsible for consciousness in and of itself. And it's also responsible for awareness and intuition and clarity. And when people get foggy thoughts and they're kind of not articulate with their words and they're off in another realm, usually it's because their pineal gland is just being attacked by heavy metals and fluorides. So heavy metals like to go into that pineal gland and basically disturb it. So we're getting fluoride from the water, we're getting these heavy metals from foods from places like China, and all tons of things like tungsten from South America. A lot of these trace metals build in the body, and they actually end up going to the pineal gland because the brain tries to almost stop it from getting past the blood-brain barrier, so it stores it in the pineal gland. So a lot of times when people are fuzzy, it's simply because their pineal gland is just not active. It's not open. It's not aware. It's calcified. So melanin is the number one discovered nutrient. David Wilcock talks a lot about this, as well as other research has been done. It's the number one nutrient to actually start to calcify this pineal gland to almost create this quote-unquote psychic experience. And that's what we experienced that day out in the woods. And further since, the more shaga you take, the more you double down on decalcifying it, and the more open and aware it is, suddenly the more just aware you are of what's happening around you.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, I have felt that too. We often have a pot of shaga going here ourselves, so... you know, along with what you just said, which is amazing, what are a couple other of the benefits of shaga that you just, that turn you on, that you're thinking about right now?
Sure. I mean, the one that's been very interesting to me is zinc. It's been on my mind for a while. Shaga is also on the record for one of the top three highest foods of zinc. You know, a lot of shellfish has a high in zinc, certain nuts are high in zinc, but shaga is an extraordinarily high dosage. And the thing to know when also evaluating how foods are absorbed into the body, because someone might say, for instance, niacin, which is found in shiitake mushrooms, it helps to detoxify the body. Technically, niacin, its highest dosages is in red meats. But the second highest is shiitake. But I would almost always argue that the mushroom is almost always the most absorbable, as based on the research, versus almost any food that can even beat it, because mushrooms are so genetically similar to our own DNA structure. Almost 80% on some mushrooms level, like chaga, is one of the closest foods to how we're actually genetically constructed.
Wow.
The mushrooms are so much like us, and they absorb so easily because of that, whereas when you try to eat red meat, there's so many variables, and I'm not even vegan, but so I'm just kind of just giving it from not even that biased perspective, but even just saying, you know, even red meat and these type of foods, they're very hard to digest, and they digest very slowly, so even though they might have a high level of, let's say, niacin, shiitake is a very light food that absorbs so deeply and richly into the cells and into the immune system that it almost, you could argue, even though it's second highest, it's almost the highest for, you know, it's not what you eat, but what you digest that makes you healthy.
Oh,
so
exactly.
With chaga's zinc level, all other foods that are slightly higher, I would always argue that chaga is almost more absorbable just in the form that it's taken, which is usually hot water extraction, like you were just mentioning as well. So the zinc, it's so cool to me because zinc has so many really interesting processes in the body, one of them being one of the best foods for, or one of the best minerals for guys to take. As a trace mineral, it's actually supportive of the prostate. And we know, especially around November, we always hear so much about, you know, men's health and prostate and Movember. And I'd say the best thing for people during November, if you want to really support it, is spread the word on chaga zinc quantities, because zinc is the number one mineral not only for the prostate. Also, zinc is one of the most important minerals for the liver.
Oh, yeah.
Zinc, and here's the cool thing is, zinc, I always love these ideas of when things have a spiritual context and a scientific context. Kind of like what I mentioned a moment ago about saying the third eye would be the spiritual context for the pineal gland being the scientific realm. The same thing goes with, let's say, liver strength. Liver strength and jing, immortal black foods, are very powerful at improving the liver. Whereas on a mineral context side, things like zinc, which is also high in chaga and high in black foods, is one of the most important things for the liver. So you almost see there another parallel between spiritual and scientific literature. So zinc is fascinating to me. I think it's so powerful. It's one of the minerals that when I started adding more of it into my body, I just noticed an overall boost of, I want to say immortal energy, not to be corny, but really like a stronger energy than a boost you would get from caffeine, like almost a deep level boost I just felt in my spirit. So I love that chaga has that high zinc content. I definitely get that boost when I drink chaga tea. And I mean, I'd love to hear what you think about that, Craig. What have you noticed from drinking the chaga tea? Do you kind of get that earthy, deep boost from within?
You know, one of the things that I get from it is hydration. Living here in Arizona, lived in Seattle before this for quite a while, but now I'm in Arizona, and I found that staying hydrated is, think you just drink enough water and you're hydrated, but actually that it should be true, but it doesn't always end up being true. And so I found that I can put a lot of like electrolyte yummies in water, and that'll help me stay hydrated. But also just straight up drinking chaga tea, having a huge pot of it there on the stove all the time, keeping that in the fridge when it's done. Have an iced chaga. If I mix it in coffee, you know, half chaga, half coffee. I like putting some grass-fed butter in there. The more chaga I consume, the more hydrated I get. And really nothing works better. Like I had a hard time staying hydrated with water, and then had a better time staying hydrated with electrolytes in the water, you know, using the quality stuff, not Gatorade. And then yeah, I have to quantify that. It's not, you're talking Gatorade here. Like food coloring will not hydrate you. Just for the record. And then I was drinking a lot of chaga just the other day, and I realized, wow, you know, this hydrates me more than water and more than like electro yummies in the water. And I was really having a problem with it. And that was the one thing that hydrated. And then also something that you mentioned for the prostate. Well, I'm 47 and my prostate is damn healthy. But I'll tell you what, guys, when you get a little older, even if you're really healthy, it can start to betray you slightly. So I tell you what. It keeps my prostate just clamps shut like a bank safe now. Boom, it's closed, you know. And I would say for any guy, especially, hey guys, you know what, very positive effect on the prostate, and start drinking it young, guys. You will not regret it.
I love that, man. That's a great, I mean, I love that topic of hydration, and maybe chaga is absorbed so well. What you're experiencing is because of just like how rich that mineral, it's basically like mineral water. It's like so deeply rich with selenium, zinc, potassium, iron, magnesium that your body is just literally latching on to those, especially potassium when you're talking about electrolytes, like it latches onto that hydration and really feels like it's sustaining you versus, let's say, water, which sometimes even the best water, you know, by the time we actually drink it, maybe was sitting in plastic or who knows whatever else has happened to it. Where Shaga, you're almost just carrying all that mineral density into that liquid that's really hydrating the system.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Well, do you see, I mean, it looks like it is, but do you see a growing trend in chaga products? I mean, not just drinks, but like somehow mixing food. Of course, it's already in supplements, personal care, beauty products. You do mention skin sexifying. So, like, where do you see chaga going in the market?
Wow. Well, it's so diverse and funny timing you say this. I was just over at a health food store here in LA, one really cool one called Air One, and I was in there and I see now there's more products almost every time I come in there that are utilizing mushrooms, and shaga is starting to catch on. I mean, reishi cordyceps have been a little bit more of the popular ones, but shaga is catching on. I even just saw in line behind me today, a guy got a big case of these instant shaga drinks. And I kind of investigated it and I was a little disappointed because, you know, shaga is something you really want to know where it's coming from. I just feel like it's such a food that needs respect because it's so rare. You know, in the woods, there's a consideration that it's almost one in every 1,000 birch trees you'll find it. So it's as rare as a truffle when you look at it that way. You can't use pigs to find it. It's so far discovered you can't find pigs to do it. So it's a really ancestral, magical food that's not something you grow really in labs. So it's something that needs a lot of respect. And unfortunately, I'm seeing, although there is a lot of shaga products coming out, there's not really that, I don't feel like there's that deep wisdom when I look at some products. Like they look very pharmaceutical to me, and they look very, I call it Amazon-ish, where you see products showing up on Amazon every day. And I actually just did an Insta story on this the other day about how even in stores, you see products saying it's shaga, and you know, they have a picture on the front that's not even shaga. It's like a totally different mushroom. And it makes me say, my God, if this is saying it's shaga in here and it's wild and sustainably picked, they didn't even get the right image on the front of the bag, makes me really concerned of like what's really going on here. How much love is really being put into this?
Oh, I
so
like that.
That's, you know, I that's why it's so important to me, like getting up in front of the industry to like, I'm more than happy to see other people doing shaga. I think it's awesome when someone tells me they're drinking shaga. I just really, like, to me, it's a spirit mushroom. It's almost like a spirit animal of mine that I really want to just get in front of the industry and teach people, hey, if you're going to go for it and get products or hunt it yourself, just don't take the whole thing. Just respect the tree. Only take it when it's at a certain age, and you don't need that much. Like, you can really keep reusing it so many times. So that's where I kind of see the industry going as far as shaga. As far as products, though, there's so much options for it. I mean, right now we're doing a lot of research and development for the next couple of lineups of products we're going to be launching, including a skincare product. And the reason being is because shaga has some really powerful skin, what I call sexifying elements, such as something called superoxide dismutase. And it's also known as SOD for short, not SOB, I'm not saying that, SOD.
Yep.
And this SOD is literally got medical textbooks inches thick just talking about this one enzyme, this one nutrient, and how amazing it actually is for the skin. And there's even a lot of cosmetic products in some of the more high-end apothecaries that are superoxide dismutase that are being sold just that. And shaga is actually on record the highest dose of that, of any food discovered. And I would also say the most absorbable too. So it's got high levels of that. Selenium's always been considered a very strong mineral that helps to rebuild like nails. So women love their nail strength and, you know, having clean, clear, and transparent nails. Like selenium's amazing for that. When someone has a low selenium dose in their body, typically they get little dots on their nails. So zinc is another one. Zinc's a beauty food. And then melanin, which is the number one nutrient for your skin, it brings out eye color. So I noticed when I started drinking shaga a lot in that first year, my eyes started even lightening color. And I even have people still to this day say to me who know me from years ago saying, your eyes are like green now. They used to be like deep brown. So people's eye color, I mean, I have no claims on that one, but I've noticed it. And it's really a powerful beauty food. So a product that I'm currently working on is I love cacao butter and putting that on my skin in the morning, just slobs of cacao butter, which is thick. Like it almost looks like hardened white rocks. And I love melting that down and then mixing different herbs in there, like whether it's rose hips or Shizandra extraction, and I'm mixing it in with shaga lately and putting it on my skin, and it feels oh so good. It's like amazing, and that superoxide dismutase right on the skin, as well as selenium and zinc and melanin, could only do wonders. So I see a lot of skincare products coming out with shaga included in them, as well as more in the market as far as mushroom coffee. I have really good friends here in LA who have a brand called Four Sigmatic. They're actually really big inspirations of mine. I spent a lot of time with them. I even lived with them in LA for 3 months. That was when I first got here. Yeah, Taro and the whole crew are really great. And mushroom coffee is really picking up. And it's interesting because when you add shaga with coffee, something that, you know, I'm even drinking coffee right now as I talk to you, and I've got shaga mixed into it. I love shaga and coffee because coffee is typically acidic for the most part. It can bring you into an acidic state just because of the way it's processed for the most part. Even cold brew can sometimes be acidic. Shaga is considered one of the most alkaline-forming foods because it has such high levels of the three minerals that make and add to your actual ability to stay alkaline, which is potassium, magnesium, as well as rubidium and many other minerals in it. So because it has such high levels of the minerals that actually contribute to alkalinity, shaga almost balances out the acidity that coffee naturally has. So they're a perfect pair. The shaga doesn't really affect the coffee flavor. So, I mean, I'm even kind of working on ideas of mixing shaga extractions into coffee to flavor it. And the shaga root beer elixir, funny enough, even goes really well with coffee. You wouldn't think root beer and coffee, but they seem to go magically together.
Oh, it sounds amazing. I have yet to try it, but I'm going to order me a bottle because I must. Well, something that you and Four Sigmatic, they're an amazing company too. We're working on interviewing them. We have some communication going back and forth. So you coined a new term that I haven't heard before. Maybe it's the first time you said it. I don't know. But Amazonish. I like that. That is badass. Amazonish. And that it speaks for itself. Well, something along with what you were saying, it made me think how author Haynes says that every new plant, every new mushroom, every new thing that we use for our benefit in nature is a skill that we learn. And it seems like with chaga, it grows as it grows. We have to have respect for nature and work with it because chaga is not something that lends to being factory farmed. So it really feels like possibly is it pulling us back into a sacredness with nature. I mean, I feel that it may be, especially as it gains popularity, or at least I hope so. And it makes me realize how, I have to mention some of the things that I saw on your, written on your site, and then also like in your YouTubes, and tell me what you think of this. I mean, are you guys up there at Black Magic Alchemy, would you consider yourselves modern shamans, like helping us all get a bit more sacred? Because some of the things that you have, because I hear from Instagram, up at Mushroom HQ, we dry our mushrooms in the sun, let them sit on sacred geometry, and bless them with a Tibetan singing bowl. More on that coming soon. I love that. And you also mentioned in one of your posts on the blog, I'll link to it in the show notes, but now, before harvesting, become present with the tree. Yes, we get spiritual around here, and we get extra with it out in the woods. Do whatever you feel called to do to feel the energy and life of the tree for a few minutes before harvesting the chaga. Our favorite is to hug, kiss, talk loving, passionate words to the tree. I mean, that's amazing. And so, I mean, you guys are definitely really like living your truth up there. I mean, does it feel good to be so damn authentic?
Oh my man, I just had a huge smile on my face, hearing that read back, because and the reason I'm laughing and smiling is just because of almost a level of absurdity of how far it can be taken, like when you're harvesting foods. Like, really, it's not like, I think people have such a disconnection of foods, and it's wild to me. You know, I learned this when I was working with that company in Canada I mentioned before that kind of put me on to, oh, shaga is a great thing. The main product they had was chocolate, and I couldn't believe when I would do seminars over at Whole Foods, and I would teach people, I do a chocolate seminar, and actually reconnect people back to what chocolate is and where it comes from. And I would always do this thing, and I should have filmed it. I was so wild. I would ask people, like 30 people in the room, I'd say, could anyone who's actually seen what chocolate looks like growing on the tree put their hand up? I would kid you not, less than 3 people every single time would put their hand up. That means 95% of the room does not know what their if you're at a chocolate seminar, odds are you're a chocoholic. You're obsessed with chocolate. And even those people, the top group of people who love chocolate enough to go to an hour seminar about it, don't even know what it looks like growing on the tree. And to me, that was revolutionary to learn that that's going on. So this is why we're so big about wanting to put, let alone chocolate, a mushroom. I mean, when I bring chaga mushroom out and I'm showing people at seminars, or I'm, you know, doing an activation at a health food store, and I'm showing people what it looks like, they're literally jaw is on the ground. Like, they're like children. Like, are you kidding me? This is a mushroom. And they're mind blown by it because it looks nothing like one. And then when they're drinking it, the level of respect I feel they then inhibit towards chaga is such a profound level of deafness. Like, they really respect it once they know what it looks like, how long it takes to grow, and they can see the videos and pictures, which we're always posting up to show people, here's what it looks like on the tree and how it's harvested. I feel it really not only improves the people wanting to try it and take it, but I really deeply believe that once you're saying yes to a product and you understand more about it and you're like really feeling it, you really absorb it better. And like, muscle testing can sometimes show that I've even seen some research of people doing even muscle testing of, but not knowing what the thing is and then knowing what it is and then improving if they objectively say, yes, I do like what this is and where it comes from, the muscle test actually shows they're even more likely to absorb the benefits of it. So, I mean, I am fascinated by that idea of teaching people where these foods are from. And the reason why I'm laughing also is what you were saying about the shamanism, And I think it's great because there's, you know, we spend many hours in the woods and we go through very profound conversations. Everything about, disheartenedly, we love numbers. We love being entrepreneurs. So we're always looking at, like, how do we improve the score? You know, how do we really get more people learning about this message? Because ultimately, that's what we want to share. So we get deep in the numbers, and then there's times we're talking about, what does this mean, us harvesting mushrooms? Like, is this what we want to do with our lives? Like, what does this mean for our future, for the world's future, if we start getting this out there at a higher level? And then we also have had those deep conversations for many hours talking about, is this what modern shamanism looks like?
It is.
Is it actually entrepreneurs running around with plain shirts on? Because, you know, entrepreneurs, the code is you can't wear any logo on your shirt. You basically wear plain black shirts and pants and Nike shoes typically, and you're an entrepreneur. So we talk about, that's almost the new shamanistic outfit if you're doing a conscious business. And you're just talking about things that are deep to your heart and about respecting nature. And it's about doing things that are not only known throughout history, like we started the interview talk about with ancestral foods, but also science, which is showing things like the Yamato experiments in Japan, which showed that water structures shifted by positive affirmations on glass bottles, as well as sacred geometry. So maybe sacred geometry isn't something shamans knew as much about, because it's ancient, but at the same time, a little bit more newly understood how it works. So we're trying to basically make the most badass product we could ever make for people to not only love the food, respect the food and the nature of it, as well as get the most magical effects from it where they're really activated. So that's why we kind of share that journey about, you know, not only do we love nature so much that we would do that either way of just loving and blessing the tree, but we deeply, deeply believe that when it's actually you're respecting the mushroom before harvesting it, kissing, hugging, holding the tree, we shut our eyes and speak for a few minutes, whatever comes out, it's basically we're just channeling whatever comes out of our mouth, showing appreciation. We truly, deeply believe that that food is then more absorbable in its end form.
Oh, I love that. Well, I think we are definitely, you are defining modern shamanism. And the one thing to remember, people sometimes forget, is that, you know, shamans, they didn't necessarily just exist, you know, 1,000 years ago. And shamans all through time have always used all the technology that was available. Just because we tend to picture a shaman as a very tribal being, that's just a certain program in our minds. You know, I mean, shamanism has always been evolving, and it seems like it stopped, and there's this just view of, oh, well, it's this historic, you know, person with a bone in their nose and things like that, and then, like, no, at one time, possibly, but I don't think it's ever really stopped. It got very, very thin for a while, but now it seems, I'm sensing a real renaissance of shamanism, and like you're saying, it's a modern-day shamanism, and just like the old historic shamans use all the technology of their time, we're using all the technology of our time, and that's just, it's a whole new level of shamanism. So we have to kind of let go of that old view of a shaman, like what it was, and just be it right now.
Craig, I love what you just said there. That is so true. It really can be a program in our mind of what we visualize a shaman is, where, you know, I'm sure if you ask 10 people on the road, what is a shaman in your mind, what do you see? They probably see a guy wearing like maybe a robe and walking around, and he's very like meditative. He doesn't have a watch on. He definitely doesn't have an iPhone. But it's like, realistically, a shaman is only what you perceive it. And really, it's, I think at its core, it's someone who's looking to heal and supercharge people's lives and really bring them back to balance and center and respect nature while doing that. And I mean, it's funny almost to say that we're shamans. We try to really stay as grounded as possible. And I agree. I think we kind of are doing modern shamanism to the best that we know how. And we're trying to almost do it in a way where even people who are not into that world of wanting to learn about what a shaman is because they have that program in their mind is, no, it's only this. I'm not into that stuff. I don't do that. I'm not into ayahuasca, quote unquote. We try to joke as much as we can with people. And you'll notice maybe on one Instagram post, you'll see that. And the very next one, our language, you know, teeters all the way over to, we're saying how gangster this mushroom is. Like, yeah. We try to ground out as much as possible and laugh at ourselves a little bit. And we know it's insane what we're doing, and in some ways, like, hugging and kissing a tree. Like, we think it's funny, too. We love that we're doing it, but we get that there could also be a caricature of, like, a joke, like these hippies hugging trees. But we're like, we're all about that. We're like, let's do it anyway. Let's teach people you don't have to take it so seriously. But at the same time, take it totally seriously because it deserves the respect. It's a nice paradox.
Definitely. Using humor to make something deeply sacred approachable. You know, I like that, I think. And I would say definitely, modern shamans definitely use iPhones. I would say it's probably the official, you know, phone of a modern-day shaman. But so I know you probably got to go soon, but I wanted to ask, what are Black Magic Alchemy's plans for the future? What do you guys got going right now?
Well, right now we are there. This is probably the first time really saying this physically.
Breaking news.
So we have stuck, I started a company about a year ago in the summer. It was July, I think 14th is Black Magic's birthday. Someone can look up the horoscope for Black Magic, because apparently even companies have astrological birthdays. I'm so curious by that, by the way. I got to learn
more. I'm an astrologer. I'll hook you up later. We'll do it.
Oh, done, man. I would love that. Okay. Now, I mean, we'll talk more. I'm always debating, is it the day that I registered the business or the day that I conceived it?
We got to work on that. It's
we'll talk.
Yeah, we have to. It's basically the day that you signed something legal that made it an entity.
Okay, then definitely July 14th. So,
okay.
Anyways, Black Magic celebrating, you know, a little bit past its birthday now, but it's been a year. And at first, the original vision was actually to launch. I want to launch a product for each and every one of the 10 medicinal mushrooms. There's considered throughout popular ancient mythology and ancient Chinese herbal medicine, Siberian shamanism, North American culture, South American culture. There's considered 10 to 12 mushrooms that are placed within the highest medicinal capabilities. And they're kind of also the ones that are the highestly proved within the scientific literature as well recently. So within those 12 mushrooms into that category, like shaga, reishi, lion's mane, cordyceps, scaricus, ablazii, Tremella, Mishima, within those categories, I wanted to launch a mushroom product that would feature each and every one of those foods in the best form that makes sense for that food. So for instance, shaga to me made the most sense to pair with root beer because the roots that make root beer, which used to be a root tea that was so medicinal and immune boosting and used for like digestion, they all happen to grow in the same region that shaga grows, the very Nordic herbs. So I thought, oh, root beer makes sense then to mix it, and root beer flavor is very complementary with shaga. So that made sense for a first idea. So reishi, that, and tremella, for instance, for the skin, tremella makes sense to make as a skincare product. So right now we're doing a lot of research and development in like kind of each one of these 10 different mushrooms and what its superpower naturally is. Shaga being immune boosting, skin sexifying, and intuition activating. Okay, let's do root beer since it connects people back to earth. Reishi is very cosmic, yet very blood-driven, like cleanses the blood system. You can even see by the red reishi's color, like that blood red,
yeah.
As well as very earthy and very flow. Like when you take reishi, I feel like I'm in a better flow state. That's where I kind of pair it with like the pineal gland. You know, pineal gland, you're trusting your intuition. You're also going to a flow state where you're just trusting. Reishi, I find, is always near the base of streams. It's always in the most sacred area of the forest. And it's very, like, humbling. Like I say, it brings grown men to their knees to cry when you see a red, beautiful queen mushroom reishi. So obviously a product that would make sense for that's more of a liquid as well. And I've kind of fooled around with, like, cherry, like a wild cherry kind of tincture with reishi in it. So we're working on a line of products. But probably the next thing, and this is where the announcement comes in, the next thing we're going to do is just by popular demand. People are literally, like, beating their chest like apes at the top of the jungle saying, you need to come out with this. People want the shaga pieces on their own, but they want the same traceability system that we do with the root beer for the pieces, where we actually tell the full story, where people can type in the code that's available on the bag of shaga that actually then connects to a video on the website and a story written out by us that shows people literally the visual, so they can see the mushroom on the tree, how we harvested it, and a little bit of information about what area of the forest we found it in, and they can see it before they even brew it for the first time. Where did this mushroom come from? What's its heritage? Where? How old was it? What tree was it on? What was it nearby? Because sometimes mushrooms take on the characteristics of things nearby. So we're probably going to launch a shaga mushroom pieces product next, because it's just so much what people want to have next.
Oh, that is, now that is definitely, you know, gangster mushroom stuff right there. I mean, that is extremely badass. I like that. I mean, I think that's wonderful. And that really helps people connect to the sacredness of the mushroom.
Yeah, that right there. And the next product is probably going to maybe even line up at the same time, is people have really loved that root beer flavor of the root beer shaga mushroom elixir. And originally that drink is actually just a tea form I used to make at the cottage. It's what kind of birthed that elixir. Was actually, we used to just, I love root beer. It's my favorite thing growing up. So I wanted to remake root beer. So I started creating ancestral recipes and looking up what were the old school recipes made by Native Americans and how there's different sarsaparilla roots that grow around the world. And I started experimenting. And when we would do these mushroom hunts up north at the cottage, I would put on the wood burning fire stove a big piece of shaga from our harvest, as well as a whole whack load of these root beer based type herbs, such as wild cherry tree bark, wintergreen leaf, sarsaparilla, sassafras. And I'd make a root tea, and people would drink it at nighttime when we'd read and have Baroque classical music playing. So it's got such a good association to kind of like our whole tribe of mushroom hunters up in Canada that we've told people a little bit of that story about where the flavor come from. And people are like, do you sell that tea? And we thought, you know what? It's probably even almost easier than doing the elixir itself, because of how much of a process it is to make that elixir with like the alcohol extraction on new moons for like 6 weeks minimum and like hot water extraction. We thought maybe people would just really dig having the tea they could brew at home in their own way with shaga already in it. So we're actually probably going to launch that right around the same time as we launch the shaga pieces. They kind of make sense to almost post up together.
I like that. That's amazing. Well, that... Now, like I mentioned, you actually start the extract on the new moon. You guys are definitely modern-day shamans, have no doubt, with your iPhones. So I definitely want to, you know, and your organic hemp Patagonia T-shirts. So
nailed it.
Yeah. So I was going to say, well, you know, from your Instagram, one of a great quote that I saw from you guys is mushrooms create friendships. Mushrooms create magic, and I couldn't agree more. So thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. And I mean, I'm going to link it all in show notes, but where can people get a hold of you? Where can they find out more?
Perfect. Well, the best place to get a hold of us is definitely through our Instagram. We're the most active on that social media platform, and we're getting 20 to 30 DMs a day. From people, you know, literally sending us pictures of mushrooms on their hunt or asking questions about what shaga does and how to do a certain recipe. So we try to respond to almost every single person. It's literally just either you're getting a response from me personally or you're getting it from my young Padawan, Michael, who is also one of the team members up in Canada, and he's doing all the mushroom hunting with me. So you see him in a lot of the pictures on Instagram. So it's literally just, we're not hiring anyone. We're doing it ourselves. We love to connect with people. So do a comment on our post, hit us up on the DM. We'll message you back. And as well on our website, we're always posting up blog posts. We have a newsletter which gives people more information about how to hunt mushrooms, not just shaga, but we talk about the whole plethora of mushrooms as well as culinary mushrooms like portobello mushrooms. We talk about how to make morel soups. So we have all types of mushroom content and We just love connecting with people. So you can hit us up on blackmagicalchemy.com. That's the website. And on Instagram, it's at blackmagicalchemy.
Yeah, and your Instagram is definitely great. Now I would say that Instagram is probably the social media platform of modern shamans. So.
Yep, 100%. 100%.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I mean, this has been great. I'll get this up in the next day or so, and I'll definitely send you a link to it so you can share it too.
Well, Craig, I deeply appreciate it. This was an amazing, fun interview. I love chatting with you and your ideas about how modern shamanism is in the new age, and as well as all the things we talked about everything from water absorption to ancestral roots. It's been a pleasure, man. Please hit me up too about that horoscope. I'd love to hear what the business horoscope is, and let's connect again soon, my man.
We will do it. Thanks a lot so much. You have a good gratitude.
Gratitude to you too, brother. Stay shroomy.